Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1-1 pitch in the air to center field, sending Mullins back onto the track at the wall. It's gone! Profar with his second home run of the night. Two-run shot. Puts the Padres on top 6-4.
And a fly ball back into right. Santander going to make the catch. The tag, Lau at third, heads to the plate. He's going to score. And over to third goes Morrell. And the Rays get that run home to take a 2-1 lead.
Oh, he's going to be right in the thick of things. This is one of the best ever to do it. He's at an age and an experience level in his career where, you know, he's not 24 years old anymore, but he's still one of the leaders in saves in all of baseball. He's gone an extended run of excellence this season. He's got another one right around the corner. You know, players have ups and downs throughout the year, and he could turn the corner starting today. So he's our closer.
Well, that's well and good. And, of course, you heard from Padres TV and then Valley Sports covering the Rays. And then you heard from Mike Elias. And he could be one of the best ever. And he is among the league leaders in saves. But he also has an 8.31 ERA since July 14th. Craig Kimbrell is a bit of a problem. And they brought him into a tie game in the eighth inning on Sunday. And he immediately walked the leadoff man who came around to score because Craig Kimbrell can't hold runners. So, of course, he was immediately at second base. He gave up that home run in the Padres game. He's not their closer right now. It's Sir Anthony Dominguez, or maybe a little of Yennier Cano, and yeah, but it's not Craig Kimbrell. And we got to talk about this yesterday. But by the way, Inside Access live from Pickles will be here all week. Jason on vacation this week. He'll be back Monday. But I just can't, unless something changes drastically in the next 40 games, whatever they have left, 43 games, like, he's not on the postseason roster. Like, they cannot carry him because he's more a hindrance than he is a help at the moment.
Yeah, part of it's going to be how the Orioles try to thread this needle with some of their injured relievers, with the Danny Coulomb and now a Jacob Webb, and we'll see what happens with Grayson Rodriguez, and we'll touch on that later on. But with how he has been pitching, you can. And his last nine games, Ken, 8 2/3 innings. He's given up 9 hits, 11 walks in 8 2/3 innings. I mean, 8 earned runs, it's completely unacceptable. And you go back to Sunday's game, and yes, we can have the conversation about how the offense needs to score more than one run off a solo shot by Anthony Santander. But the reality is, you're going to have those type of situations in October where you're tied or it's close and late in the game and high leverage situations where Craig Kimbrell, he's going to have to deliver in those situations or else he's not going to be on the October roster, where you walk the leadoff guy, you get the strikeout, Lau ends up stealing second, but it's the morale at bat. For me, Ken, 4 pitches, 4 balls, a walk, and really none of those pitches were competitive at all.
Well, the one that kills me is the leadoff man, that he had him 1-2 and then didn't throw him another strike and didn't throw him really anything close to get him to swing at anything. Well, you get ahead. What he does well is he uses the upper quadrant of the zone, and he gets you to chase. Ball. But it's got to be close to get him to chase. These pitches he's throwing are non-competitive.
And you look at his Baseball Savant page. He doesn't get any ground balls. He's in the bottom first percentile on chase percentage, bottom third percentile in walk percentage. I mean, he's getting barreled up consistently. And what's so frustrating is it's almost like a tale of three seasons for Craig Kimbrell, where started strong, then tailed, then he had the reset, and then he had that 22-game stretch where he gave up just one earned run. He had 31 strikeouts and 21 innings pitched, and then he's on the stretch that I just detailed. You can't have these wild variances for a high-leverage guy in October.
And there's another factor here. Athletic mortality strikes at different times
Absolutely.
For different people. And Mike Elias is right in that he's one of the greatest ever to do this. But everybody has to retire at some point, and everybody loses it at some point. And to me, I give Kimbrell credit. The beginning of the year, we had that period of time where he wasn't good. You talked about a tale of three seasons.
Yeah.
Then he had that great stretch. And you're like, okay, maybe his control is so good. And that's the key for him. He has to have pinpoint control because the stuff ain't as good as what it used to be. But now the control is gone and the stuff is not as good, or it's not good enough to get by if his control is not pinpoint. And now you've got an aging closer who is not what he used to be, and now he seems to get in trouble. And if you walk the leadoff man and your job is to get three outs and you walk the first guy and you can't hold runners at all, that's a double.
I mean,
unless it's the catcher, it's a double. And so, like, you can't put him into games.
And you had the Rays, you know, pull off that double steal, which is completely unacceptable. And it's night and day when you look at his numbers with no one on base and then when there's men on. I mean, you almost can determine how Craig Kimbrell's outing is going to go after the first batter. Because if that leadoff guy gets on, like we saw on Sunday, then it's off to the track meet. And OPS against Craig Kimbrell with nobody on, 471, compared to a 760 with men on, and 817 with runners in scoring position.
So let's live in a world, and we're going to play a hypothetical game here, Bon.
Love that.
Jacob Webb is back for the postseason. Danny Coulomb is back for the postseason. Craig Kimbrell's not on the roster.
No.
You can't carry him. Now, if both of those guys do not come back, maybe you carry Kimbrell. But if they're healthy, and it wouldn't shock me if there's one more waiver claim up there, in their bag of tricks, or if they bring a guy up from AAA to be part of things.
Yeah, and think about it. This time last year, or maybe even a week or two from now, that was when they brought in Jacob Webb.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that absolutely could be in a back pocket.
Yeah, so, like, I don't see a world, assuming health, where unless, again, something drastically changes in the next 40 games, that he's on the postseason roster.
Yeah, there's still that batch of games, like you're saying. He'd have to turn it around in a big, big way. But, Ken, even if he does, you can't tell me it's not going to be in the back of, you know, our mind, every Orioles fan's mind, come October, if he was on the roster, because then you're thinking, oh, geez, here we go again, because we all know what happened last year in Philadelphia.
Yes, and the Orioles, in their infinite wisdom, have taken the train wreck bullpen from last year in Philly and said, this is where we're going to the World Series with these guys. Let's get
them.
Soto, Dominguez, Kimbrell. We got them all. We have a huge show. Again, we're live at Pickles. Orioles, a day off yesterday. Yankees get blown up by the White Sox, so the Orioles are a half game up in first place. They head into action tonight. Guest-wise, our buddy Todd Karpovich, his weekly chat covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com, the Orioles for PressBox. That's at 2:30. At 3:30, our weekly chat talking Orioles and Ravens with our friend Rita Hubbard. At 4:30, Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. We'll ask him about Craig Kimbrell being on the postseason roster, and we'll talk some football. It's a week late, so Bone did not get it done, but Buckapalooza continues
sort of
a little late. Bucky Brooks, NFL Network at 5.
Yeah, and also, just a day removed, we let things kind of marinate from what Ultimate Football Guy Bobby DePaul had to say. 4 hours of Bobby D in Ocean City yesterday was a blast. He had a lot of interesting insight. And we're going to kind of work in some of those quotes and thoughts from Bobby D throughout this week. So we are going to hit that at 3 o'clock.
But coming up next, Orioles, first place in the AL East. Orioles, they have the most wins in baseball as we sit here right now. Are they a team that we think can still make noise despite all these injuries? Can they make noise in the playoffs? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles and Nationals tonight at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Two-game series, then the Red Sox for four. We're live at Pickles across the street from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We're here until 5:30. Then it is Baltimore baseball tonight. That's the Bone and Ryan Ripken coming up at 5:30. Orioles enter play tonight. There's 123 games done, so that makes it, 39 games left? Is that right?
30.
I think it's 39 games. Because
carry the one.
70 and 49 is 120.
No,
70 and 40 is 110. 119, 120 would be 40. They're 43 games. Okay. 43
all
games
right,
left.
All right.
With 43 games left, the Orioles are tied for the league, the major league lead in wins. They are a half game up in the division. And yet we are not confident in this team at all. So then I ask the question, can this team still make noise in the postseason?
Jacob Kalvemeyer, who's going to be joining us at 4:30, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. He had a tweet yesterday, and I think it's just so important to put it all in perspective because Yankees fans are pissed at their team. The Guardians are pissed at the Phillies fans. Like, no one seems to be happy in what is, quite frankly, a very mediocre MLB this year. And Jacob Kalvemeyer had this in his column on Monday. Last time, no MLB team had a winning percentage of 600 or better after play on August 11th was 1991. Entering Sunday, no MLB team was projected by Fangraphs to win 95 or more games. Not 100,
that's
95.
Crazy.
If that happens, it would be the first time in a full season since 1959, Ken. And Fangraphs is also giving no team a better than a 1-6 chance to win the World Series. Entering Sunday, the leader in championship odds, Dodgers, 16.2%. First time since 2014 that there was no clear front runner with a percentage of at least 16.6% entering August 1st. So I bring this all up. We know the deficiencies of this club.
But every team has deficiencies.
Exactly. So it almost seems like it's cliche, but oh my gosh, it's so wide open this year. But Ken, it really is. I mean, this could be one of those years where a team just gets hot. We saw that with the Rangers last year.
I was just about to say.
And the Diamondbacks, no one saw them. Like, we could see that again in this postseason. Two teams that entering October, we weren't really thinking highly of, and they make it to the World Series. And I guess that's where I go back. Why not the O's?
Well, am I confident they're going to make
a
run? No.
Yeah.
Can I see them making a run? Absolutely. If their bats get hot, they get Westberg back, Grayson comes back for the playoffs, you've got a good 1-2. Even with Eflin, you got a 1-2-3. You get three quality starts. You got a shot. Do I think they have the best pitching? No. Do I love their bullpen? No. But I look around baseball, and I'm just like, what?
Who are you confident in? That's my
Seattle's
question.
Seattle's got great starting pitching, but are they even going to get into the playoffs? San Francisco's got great starting pitching. Are they going to get into the playoffs?
Everyone has warts. Everyone has warts. And right now, entering tonight, Orioles first in home runs, second in OPS, third in runs scored, all of those in the majors. And offensively, I mean, if guys can continue to, you know, Cowser and Gunner, there's so much talent in this lineup. A part of it for me, and it's going to be hard for all of these guys to come back and be as impactful as they were, but it's how these injured guys come back in September, assuming they do come back. You know, what would Jordan Westberg mean for this lineup?
Yes.
You mentioned Grayson Rodriguez. That way you have the 1-2-3. And with how the ALDS schedule lines up this year, Ken, you don't need a fourth starting pitcher. So you just need those three guys. And you know, can the defense shore things up? And Coulomb, what he could do to the back end of this pen.
Well, here's the crazy part. Coulomb was probably their best relief pitcher before he got hurt.
Absolutely.
Jacob Webb was their best relief pitcher when he got hurt. If they can get those guys back, and again, it's ifs, but as Tim did a very good job of documenting, every team's got ifs. Like the Dodgers are having problems. The Braves are having problems. The Phillies, since making all those trades, they have not been playing great baseball. They started the second half losing six in a row. So if these things can happen, if they get Coulomb and Jacob Webb back, if Dominguez keeps pitching the way, frankly, I think he's pitched really well as an Oriole. You know, he got beat by Jose Ramirez. That happens. Beyond that, I think he's been really good. Like, they got a shot, but again, it's going to have to come down to the bats in the playoffs, which look at the Rangers. Evan Carter was incredible for them the entire postseason run. He started slow, got hurt, and he's never come back this year. Like, baseball's weird in those ways sometimes.
And I think what frustrates Orioles fans right now, and you have a right to be frustrated, is they got off to such a great start. And then since that point, it's been a lot of starts and stops. And this ball club, since the All-Star break, has not won three consecutive games. We have yet to see them really go on a run in the unofficial second half. And I look at, and we'll probably do a segment on this later in the week, where you get through this Nats series, and then you're kind of facing a bunch of teams in contention, where it's the Red Sox, it's the Mets, it's the Astros, it's the Dodgers, where, and then September, it softens up a bit. But we're going to find out a lot about this club in that stretch where you're going to have to keep up, because we know that the Yankees, and they just lost by 10 runs to the White Sox.
That was something.
That happened. That was baseball. But, you know, you're going to have to keep pace with them.
Yeah, it is a really funny year in Major League Baseball.
Bizarre.
No team has more than 70 wins. The Dodgers, the Orioles, the Yankees, and the Guardians all have 70 wins. I mean, no team has more than that.
I mean, Ken, that stat that Jacob had from Fangraphs, where no one's projected to win 95 games, not 100, 95. I mean, that's remarkable.
Yeah, the Orioles, you would think you win more than 90 games, you get in.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
With 43 games left, you don't have to play 500 baseball to get to 90 games, but I think they'll be better than that. At least I expect them to be better than that.
And, Ken, what was it? The O's, the Dodgers, and the Braves all won 100 games last year?
None of those teams won a series.
Crazy.
We are live at Pickles until 5:30. You can come on by and say hi. The Bone is here, so ladies, come prepared. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk some Ravens. They played their first preseason game, losing to the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday night. Orioles, of course, down the stretch. We'll get Todd Karpovich's thoughts on all of this. He covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com, covers the O's for PressBox, and he joins us next here on The Fan. Preseason game one in the books for the Ravens. They lose to the Eagles 16-13. They take on the Falcons Saturday afternoon, M&T Bank Stadium. Training camp practices continue at one winning drive. It's a perfect time to bring on our friend Todd Karpovich, who covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com and the O's for PressBox. And, Karp, thank you as always for joining us. So let's start with the broad. Eagles, Ravens, Friday. Any main takeaways you got out of that extravaganza?
Well, I mean, the offense, obviously the second team offense struggled big time. That was not a fun game to watch. You know, and the Ravens, they keep saying, you know, Josh Johnson is going to be the guy, you know, as a second string quarterback. But if, you know, if he gets hurt, can he be the guy, you know, Lamar can back up Lamar and win games? So, you know, that was one issue. I thought the defense played really well. I thought the secondary, Nate Wiggins, was the highlight with his three passes. You know, he broke up in the first quarter before leaving with an injury. Harbaugh said he should be okay for week one against the Chiefs. The offensive line seemed to be a work in progress. You know, Harbaugh said, you know, he might be able to name the starters after this preseason game this Saturday against the Falcons. It might take 2 weeks. I think they still have a lot of evaluation to do before they get the offensive line set. All in all, though, you know, we saw a lot of backups, basically, is the kind of game we saw.
Todd, an under the radar position battle is at third running back. What did you think of Owen Wright and Rasheen Ali?
I thought Ellen Wright outplayed Ali. Now, the Ravens did sign a play at running back today. A veteran guy, John Kelly, who played the last three seasons with the Browns. He hasn't had an overly stellar career, but, it's going to – neither the third running back is not going to get many carries with Derrick Henry, Justice Hill. So the key for them is going to be able to make the team on special teams. So that's really going to be where they need to stand out. And right now, I see it a pretty even battle. Rasheen Ali's out today because of his finger. He missed practice yesterday. So I don't know if that'll hurt him. He might be a practice squad guy. But we'll have to see moving forward. But again, that third one of that spot's going to come down to special teams.
We're talking to Todd Karpovich, Inside Access here on The Fan. Karp, between the game Friday and practice yesterday, or Sunday, excuse me, it feels like they've dodged a couple of bullets. Sounds like Nate Wiggins going to be okay. Maybe he should be able to be back by the start of the season. And Kyle Hamilton already back on the practice field.
Yeah, and Trap Bateman also a little more active today. So that's a good sign. Yeah, Arthur Millett's a guy who's probably not going to be ready. But, obviously the Ravens are probably going to be careful with these guys until – September 5th when they play the Chiefs, it's an absolutely huge game. You want all your playmakers available for that game. So, yeah, they're going to ease these guys back into it. But, yeah, it's a good sign that these guys are making an appearance and back on the practice field, especially Hamilton. Hamilton, it could be a season-ending injury if it was long-term. So it's good to see him back out there.
Todd, Friday was the first time you were able to see the new kickoff in person. I guess what was your impression of it?
I thought, I was very underwhelmed. I really don't see how, the NFL wants to be a dynamic change to the game. I didn't see it. And also, I think there were some, there were several penalties the referees missed, because they're still making adjustments. So I think my biggest concern with these new kickoff rules is there going to be more injuries because of this, because they don't really have a handle on what's going on. So this could be a one-year deal with this thing. I was underwhelmed by it. I think they have a lot of wrinkles to work out before the regular season starts. Right now, I think it's a little bit of a concern.
Karp, let's switch to the Orioles, who, even though they haven't played great baseball since the start of, after the post All-Star break period, they are in first place in the division, a half game up on the Yankees, and nobody in baseball has more wins than the Baltimore Orioles. So how are you feeling about this team?
It's amazing. How did a team lose four starting pitchers and still in first place and win 70 games? It's amazing to me. It's a parody around the league. Now, the Orioles are going to – they hopefully will get some guys back. Webb, Grayson Mir, end of the year, Danny Colon by end of the year, maybe even Jordan Westberg. So they have reinforcements coming. But, they have a two-game series with Nationals and a big four-game series with the Red Sox. But every time you count the Orioles out, they seem to stay in it. Yankees had a really bad loss yesterday to the White Sox. They're getting killed on social media for that. So we'll have to see. It's going to come down to the wire. I think the Orioles have to be careful with the Red Sox, because if they can come here with three out of four games, it could be an issue as far as them making a surge here.
Todd, you mentioned it, just with the injuries and the ups and downs of this Orioles season, but despite it all, they have 70 wins. And Ken and I, we were just talking about this year just seems so wide open, where this could be the first year since 1959 where no team wins 95 games. Despite all of the issues surrounding this club, could you see them possibly still going on a run in October?
I do. There's nobody's really separating themselves. Cleveland's got a good team. They got 70 wins, but the rest of the American League sort of watered down. And you got this, you got these more playoff teams. So, a team could get hot, out of nowhere when the postseason starts. I think the Orioles right now, they have as good a chance as anybody to make it a run in the playoffs. And if they get these players back, some of their key players, they could be a dangerous team. The Yankees, every time they come back, they sort of take a step back. So, yeah, I think the Red Sox are a team to watch. And then Cleveland's also played well against the Orioles. That'd be a good matchup. And you got to watch Houston now. The Astros are playing better. So, yeah, but there's a lot of parity. There's a lot of parity around baseball. Even the Phillies were so red hot, and they really taking a step back. The Braves are seven games back, but could they make a run at them? So we'll see. But yeah, like you said, Tim, there's a lot of parity around the league today. It's really up for grabs.
Karp, we opened the show with a conversation about Craig Kimbrell, and assuming they get Coulomb and Webb back, which Michael Elias thinks they can, Can you see a world where Craig Kimbrell is not on the postseason roster?
I do. I think it'll be sparingly when those guys get back. And I think, you know, he'll have tough decisions. I mean, can you trust him? Can you trust him in the postseason? That's what they got to ask themselves. So, yeah, I do see a scenario where they leave him off. They leave him off the roster and add another, you know, sort of guy who's a middle reliever in case Stars get in trouble.
Todd, is Sir Anthony Dominguez, is he the closer for you, or do you see kind of a combo platter with him and Yennier Cano?
I see a combo platter. You know, I've got to get these guys figured out. If one of these guys does get hot, goes on a little run here as far as closing games, I can see Hyde staying with the hot hand. But right now, you know, how much can you trust these guys the way the bullpen's been throwing lately? I think it's going to be committee until Hyde gets comfortable with one guy.
We're talking to Todd Karpovich, Inside Access, here on the Fan. Karp, we've seen it before. We saw with Jackson Holliday at the beginning of the year, really struggled offensively. Kobe Mayo yet to have a base hit as a Major League Baseball player. Any concern with Kobe Mayo?
No, I think he's got to give him his at-bats. He'll come around. He'll make the adjustments. You know, it's a big transition from AAA pitching to Major League pitching. And they have splits on him. They know what to throw at him. So I think you just stick with him. Let give him some at-bats and see what he can do. You know, if we get further into it where he's not hitting, then he has to go back. But again, give the kid a chance. Get him his at-bats. Let him get used to Major League pitching. See what he can do. He's shown he has a pedigree to be a hitter. He just has to figure things out here.
Todd, of course, Sunday, the back end of the bullpen blew the game. Orioles offense, they didn't score any runs in that one. But one of the shining spots of that game, Albert Suarez. I mean, 6 2/3.
Where would they be without him?
That's my question. Yeah, where would they be without Albert Suarez?
That's what I wrote about today. You know, he's been the savior for this team. He's came up huge. And he's also, you know, taking his role. And he's 5-4, 3.39 ERA, which is really good for a guy who sort of, you know, never had a consistent major league career. So, yeah, he's sort of a lifesaver right now. That's, you know, Dean Kramer's that guy can really rely on. And the back end of the rotation is really sort of in disarray. So Suarez, he could be, you know, next to Burns, he could be their ace right now as far as what kind of way he's pitching.
Amazing. Todd Karpovich covers the Orioles for PressBox. He covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com. Karp, enjoy the sun out there at One Winning Drive, and thank you, as always, for your time. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys. Head back to practice.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, Ravens and the Ravens and the Falcons play Saturday at noon. Ravens back on the practice field today. Orioles start a 2-game series against the Nats tonight. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 5:30. That's the bone and cut from the same cloth. Ryan Ripken coming up next here on the program, Inside Access. Remember, Jason is on vacation. We'll hear from some sound from yesterday. A little Kyle Van Noy and a little Chuck Smith. Only time we really get to hear from Chuck Smith during the year. What did he have to say about some of his pass rushers? You'll find out next here on the Fan.
I know the playbook. That helps. Know teammates. And then just, yeah, a lot of different things. Just expectation, standard, and people on staff just kind of just come in and flow. And it's been awesome. It's fun getting to see young guys compete and myself being young, competing out there with them. It's been good.
It's Kyle Van Noy, who, remember, last year didn't come in until, what, October? Talks about the difference between having a full year with the team compared to coming in late. And Kyle Van Noy gets to hit the ground running and be part of a Ravens training camp. But didn't he have 2 sacks in his first game? Like, he really didn't need training camp a year ago.
No, and look, he's 33 years old now. He's a veteran, old hat to him. And he had a career high in sacks last year. And we've seen several veterans come through Baltimore, yes, have a career resurgence. But with Van Noy, and similar to some of those veterans, it seems like he's really taken to this organization and taken to the culture and John Harbaugh. And also, heading into last offseason, we talked a lot about you couldn't let both Clowney and Van Noy walk. You had to bring back one of them because this is a really, really young edge group, Ken.
Absolutely is. Many guys, let's face it, guys like Adisa Isaac and David Ajabo haven't done anything at the NFL level yet. No, and Adafe Owe and Tavius Robinson, have not done much, always done more than Robinson, but nobody's been a star at the NFL level. More from Kyle Van Noy. He was asked if Chuck Smith being the pass rush coach is a draw for other players.
I think it's a big draw right now because not many teams have somebody that's like him, that has played in the NFL a long time and was successful and is a high-level coach that is teaching technique. A lot of places worry about scheme. This place worries about scheme and technique, and he's a pass rush technician, and he's very, very good, and he's helped me a lot in my career, and he's helped other players, and I'm excited to get back to work with him again.
Chuck Smith, we thought a year ago this was kind of a coup. He's a guy who had that like pass rush camp, and then they hire him as a coach, and we saw they led the league in sacks a year ago. I don't know if they're going to do that again, but you got all these young pass rushers. He's got to help.
Absolutely. And some of them had already worked with Chuck Smith.
Yes.
Like Justin Matabike had been working with Chuck Smith prior to him coming onto the staff. But when you hear a Kyle Van Noy, who's been in the league for a while now, say that Chuck Smith has helped him out and given him some tips, I mean, that kind of just tells you the type of knowledge and the guru that Chuck Smith is. And I don't think it's coincidental that, you know, you saw a lot of guys take a step under him last year, Matabike taking the biggest one. But even in Adafe Owe, he didn't get the sack numbers per se, but that was definitely his best year.
Yes, the metrics were way up on Adafe Owe. Let's hear from Chuck Smith. And Chuck Smith discusses coaching interior players versus edge players.
The first thing is making the inside guys understand that they're more than just big guys. You know, let them know, Beeks know, their understanding that you're more than just a two-gapper. In the modern era now, pass rush, the big guys are getting double-digit sacks if you look around the NFL. So the mindset of the traditional 3-4 team was that the big guys got to be what? Space eaters. Now, as you see from a guy like Matabike and some more other guys that can, you know, really rush the passer and around the league, you know, you try to explain to them. It's a mindset initially about, you know, how do I see myself? Because if you pigeonhole yourself into I'm just a big guy, a two-gapper, then you always be that way. So in giving the player a lot of credit, Beek put in a lot of work of training. He continues to be on the same regimen, and he works hard, and he believes in himself.
High praise for Justin Matabike, but interesting the way he talks about the game changing. It used to be 3-4. That guy in the middle was just a run stuffer, not anymore.
I mean, you think of the 2000 Ravens with Saragusa and Sam Adams.
Yes.
I mean, those are big guys that are clogging the middle that could help
a
young.
To talk about them?
I was a young lad, but that could help a young Ray Lewis run free. But I mean, you think of the Aaron Donalds of the world, where I mean, he's just a freak. I mean, he was built in a lab.
Chris Jones
and all of these guys where, if you want to get paid like a Justin Matabike, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, you got to have sack production. You got to have those double-digit sack numbers that were, quite frankly, unheard of 20 years ago out of an interior guy.
More from Chuck Smith, and let's hear his thoughts on a guy that Bobby DePaul had some high praise for yesterday, Tavius Robinson.
He's a glass eater. He's never turned down one rep since he's been here. That's the best way to describe this dude. Every play, and I'm not exaggerating, he has given effort. Every day, Tavius Robinson listens to the coach. Every day, he works out hard. He's early. Every day, when he gets in those drills, he puts hands on people in the run. He continues to work hard to continue to develop as a pass rusher. And his main responsibility for us, because remember, Tavius played last year. I mean, Tavius was in big games early on. He's not like a second-year guy who's never played. I mean, he's went out there and smashed with some of the great teams that we faced. But I really can't say enough about him as far as who he is and how physical he is. And he shows no mercy. Tavius Robinson is everything you look for. And what, like Coach Harbaugh says, a Raven, Tavius, and always remember, I'm going to tell you, he has never turned down a rep. He's never not run to the ball. And that's saying a lot about a player. And I mean, it's all the truth. I'm just telling you who he really is. And everybody here will say that.
Bobby DePaul said on Friday night the tape showed a guy that was playing his rear end off. I've never heard the term glass eater used for a football player, basketball player, or big rebounder. He's eating glass. But Bobby DePaul had high praise for him yesterday, and Chuck Smith praising him as well.
Really high praise for Tavius Robinson. And something that Chuck Smith said that is a good point is you look at the Ravens draft class from last year, and you really think, it was just Zay Flowers was the only starter, which he was. But the other guy that got some decent run as a rotational guy was Tavius Robinson. And there were some games, like Chuck Smith was mentioning, early on in the season last year, like the Colts game, for example. He played 55 defensive snaps in that one, 39 the following week against the Browns. So he had some games where he got valuable reps in, and Bobby D thinks he's ready to take the next step.
Let's hear one more from Chuck Smith. Ben, cut 24. This is a guy we wonder if we're ever going to see him flash in an NFL football game. David Ajabo, what's Chuck Smith have to say about him?
Well, you know, you want number one. I'm sure Harbs has talked about it. I can't get into the medical stuff, but I know he's working hard. Had a good spin today. I know he's running to the ball. I know he's striking blocks. I know he's showing signs that, you know, he's improving. I've had a torn ACL, and anybody that's ever had one knows it takes time to come back. But he's out there fighting. He's out there scraping. And I just think that if he continues the way he's going, he's going to, you know, have success because he knows how to – he's got moves. Now we just got to, you know, give him the opportunity, you know, for him to be healthy to be able to execute those moves.
A year ago, Chuck Smith was raving about David Ajabo. More, you know, he was positive, but not as glowing as a year ago.
We're just at the point with David Ajabo where we need to see it. You know, we just haven't seen it, and he has not played much football at all entering his third year, where it was a big disappointment that he wasn't able to play in that game last week because he hasn't been cleared for game action. Of course, he's been out there every day during practice, but you're hoping that he can get some run in this weekend's game against the Falcons and next weekend's game against the Packers, because every single live rep that David Ajabo can get at this point is massive.
Coming up next here on the program, we will take a look back to yesterday. Bobby DePaul joined us for 4 hours live from the Angler at the Sea there in Ocean City. And, man, did he have a lot to say. We'll take a look at some of the highlights, what he said about Tavius Robinson, what he said about Trenton Simpson, and much more. Looking back to Bobby DePaul yesterday here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.